Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of the Silent Heart Radio. You know, one of the most important doctrines for believing ones to grasp is the doctrine of soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. And one of this, another category of doctrine that we must understand that falls under the doctrine of salvation or soteriology is the doctrine of hamartiology, which is the doctrine of sin. And in the New Testament, the term sinner in Greek is hamartos, and it is, of course, an adjective, and it is a descriptor of a pattern of behavior, a malignant, consistent pattern of behavior, sinner. And the word for sin is hamartos, the hamartia. So in the New Testament, there's a distinction made between the one who sins occasionally, which is the child of God, and this individual has truly been born anew, and the one who sins habitually, and that is a term that's used in the New Testament for sinner. So it's imperative for believers to understand this, of these two doctrines. It's a doctrine of soteriology, once again, the doctrine of salvation, and the doctrine of hamartiology. And it's a First John. John takes up this doctrine of salvation, what it means for believing ones. And in First John chapter 1, of course, he opens it empirical evidence for the person of Christ. And he begins by stating in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, or out from the beginning, or beginning which was no beginning, because God is eternal. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eye, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Here he presents physical evidence for the person of Christ. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness, to show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that ye also may have koinonia, fellowship with us. And truly our koinonia, or fellowship, or a word which means to hold joint things in common, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, Creator, and with his Son, Jesus Christos, Lord Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full, or that your joy may be completed. Please get the note and flavor. Please get the tenor of what John is saying. Because then he goes on to verse 5, this thing is the message that we have heard of him. And the word here, heard, is in the perfect indicative. Akouo, in which this word, heard, derived, means to hear with a view to obeying. To hear effectively, or to hear with a view to obeying. that which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is Phos, the light, and in him is no darkness. If we say, Ekumen, if we say that we have fellowship with him and peripateo, and walk in darkness, that is, walk around in darkness. Peri means around. So peripateo means to walk around in darkness. Otei, we lie. And within this context, and broadly, the term lie means to utter an untruth or attempt to deceive by falsehood. We lie and do not know the truth, that is, do not practice truth. See, one cannot state, well, I have joined things in common with him or with Christ, and habitually walks in darkness, which is here. That is accomplished. It does not work. And so John leads us to bear in a very powerful manner. There is an either or dimension to our faith. Not a both and, but an either or. But if we walk in the light, in verse 7, he declares, or our behavior within the faulty, as he is in the light. Now notice the verb is. Instead of being verb, as he is, and autos, the pronoun, he is in the emphatic position, as he is in the photi, the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say, Ekumen, that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, believing ones in Christ do not habitually practice sin. But believing ones do sin occasionally. Believing ones do sin occasionally. Now, some persons have said that believing ones have a sin nature, coexisting with divine nature that Peter says we have. So, once again, there are those who say that believing ones have a sin nature, coexisting with the divine nature that we have been given. And so, that particular doctrine is not to be found in Scripture. Paul does this massive dissertation on the flesh in his letter to the Romans. And in his letter to the Romans, Paul talks about the sarks of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, he talks about the words of the flesh. Paul never said that believing ones have a sin nature. The Greek word for nature is physis, from which we get our word physics. And so you never find these two words juxtaposed syntactically in the Greek New Testament. You never find them. So, sin, hamartia, physis. These two terms are never juxtaposed in the Greek New Testament. And let me say in the either in the English translation. And so what if an individual says, I am a sinner, I am a hamartos, saved by grace. That is not to be found in the Word of God. The believer, I understand what the individual is intended to say. It is not biblically sound, it's not even accurate. But it is due practice and occasion. So, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth, but not us. John goes on to say in verse 9, if we confess our sin, not if we confess our sins. The Greek has, if we confess the sins, he is faithful, that is trustworthy and just, that is fulfilling his declared promise to forgive us our or to forgive us sins. The word our for the noun sins italicized, which means it does not occur, terms not occur in the text. He is faithful and just to forgive us sins and to cleanse, very important term, the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, and to cleanse us out from all unrighteousness. That is, since we cannot name in particular, we are to confess to homologeo, is the word in the Greek. H-O-M-O-L-E-G-O, homologeo, means to agree with God, to be in agreement with God as that one has sinned. Because God knows. God is omniscient, that is, he is all-known. He knows you and me. He knows our behavioral patterns. He knows our predispositions to sin. He knows if we have planned sin. He knows when we lie. He knows when we tell the truth. He knows our going in and going out. And so God knows us completely and fully. We must come to understand that there's no hide and seek playing with God. He knows exactly who we are. He knows those who are his own, those who are not his own. He knows those who are continuing to be his and are not. And so, if we confess, if we agree with God that we have sinned, he is, present indicative, he is faithful. God is trustworthy. He is worthy of our trust and just, that is, fulfilling his declared promise. To forgive, and the word forgive means to send off from one. And he calls us our sins to stand out from us. So we have wonderful promises in the Word of God so that you and I can be at peace, so that you and I can be free to serve him effectively, so you and I can walk in and really experience the wonderful love of God. To have that as our focus and not spend our time attempting to hide or bury sin, that is to repress sin or to suppress sin, because sin does things. So we practice sin. Those things to our conscience. Sin will harm us biochemically, that is, physiologically. And sin will disrupt our immune system, psychoimmunology, toxicness, and psychoneuroimmunology, I should say, talks about this. And so, God wants us, you and I, to be free and be at peace. And let's study his word so we can grow up in grace in him. Good morning. My name is Dr. Isaiah Richard. Have a great day.